I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome back, everybody, to Private Education. Neither myself nor Andrea are in our regular locations at the moment.
We have gone rogue.
I am on a very short little family trip to Cork, and Andrea is on a very long romance trip to Los Angeles still. Yes, she's still there, people.
romance trip, that's hilarious.
So we're going to, because we're both sort of semi on holidays, we're going to do a relatively quick episode. No, we
a
say
quickie,
that
if you will.
Yeah, we do, we always say that, and then they never end up being quick, but this is actually going to be quick. So we have two things. One is a listener query that I got in via Instagram, which kind of I read briefly and I was like, oh my god, we have to do this, and I marked it as unread again so I'd come back to it, because it's really, really interesting and kind of sort of in the same ilk as the last couple we've done. It's like a live situation, as in these people are engaged to be married, so our advice could potentially give them guide. Like, I'm not going to say we're going to cause a marriage or not, you know, cause no marriage, but it could help.
Oh, it's very early in the morning for that level of responsibility.
You are 8 a.m.
It is 8 a.m.
Yeah, is it 4 for me? So I'm like, yeah. I'm ready to break up a marriage.
Raring to go.
No, I don't want that to happen. Okay, but the first thing we're going to talk about is a tweet that I saw the other day, which I liked and I retweeted, and I liked a couple of follow-up tweets that belong to it. And it simply said, it's from a woman named, I think it's a woman anyway, her name is Raquel Gates. I haven't checked her pronouns actually, but her tweet said, "Men, if your girlfriend is finishing a marathon, accepting an award, walking the runway to close out the collection that she designed, or taking a moment to celebrate any big individual accomplishment that she worked hard for, this is not the time to propose to her." And she sent a follow-up tweet saying, "Also, women, if your man does this, break up with him." So, pulling no punches, is Raquel.
Absolutely not. What She's all in.
What do you think? What's your initial reaction?
I kind of understand where she's coming from, because let people have their moment. And it also reminds me, and it's different too, but kind of reminds me of, do you know when bridesmaids get engaged at their friends' weddings?
Yes.
You ever see that?
Angry vibes.
Yeah. And it's like, whoa. No, this is somebody else's day. And a lot of the time the bride's in on it, but still they probably don't feel like, what if someone says to you, "I've got this really good plan, I'm going to propose at your wedding," you probably feel like the ultimate bridezilla to be like, No, you won't.
But it's so true. Like, never mind a bridesmaid getting engaged. I think anyone getting engaged or announcing a pregnancy or any of those things at any occasion. So say, like, I don't know, say I was having a birthday and someone was like, "I'm pregnant." Like, obviously straight away the event is, the excitement focus of the event is no longer on the person the event is about.
100%.
Which I just think, I mean, look, don't get me wrong. If one of my friends had announced that they're engaged or pregnant at my wedding, I would have been absolutely delighted for them. There is no getting around that. But I actually think it's unfair to them in a way.
Yeah.
Because you, like, their special day is now forever merged with yours, you know? So, like,
this is it.
I don't know. And, like, interestingly, a follow-up tweet. So somebody else came in.
Yeah.
Responded to Raquel and said, "Wait, as a woman, I don't understand why. Why is that bad?" And I mean, first of all, it takes the attention. Like, if you have worked, I mean, you have a PhD, Andrea Jane Doyle, you have worked hard and achieved something mega. And if on the day of your graduation, a man had walked up and proposed to you, well, first of all, you would have been like, get away, stranger. But
she would have been hilarious.
If you had been in a relationship at the time,
yeah,
and they had proposed to you, I would have taken it into my own hands and gone over and punched their lights out, because you have worked for 4 years to achieve this thing. This day is about you. This day is not about what a man is doing for you, or, you know, like, it
trying to make it special.
Make it special.
Special enough.
It's already
my achievement
special.
Is special. I don't need you to boost that with your proposal, pal. No.
Yeah. And it's almost, it's almost that thing of like, oh, you're, you know, the collection you designed, the art gallery that your painting is in, whatever the big thing is, it's like, well, that's not important unless me as your partner gets involved and does something to take the attention and bring it on to what I'm doing. So like, it's not even, you know, there's probably men out there thinking, oh, but that'd be a really nice thing. You know, they're having this really special day. They've achieved this big thing, and now I'm coming in and making it extra special. No, all you're doing is taking the limelight and shifting it onto a societal like norm of marriage, which, I mean, it just, what it says to me is like, marriage is an equally brilliant achievement as a PhD or a marathon or a collection that you've designed. And I don't think it is.
I am forced to agree, to be honest with you, because the thing about those things are they're solo achievements a lot of the time. And I mean, obviously there'll be a team behind you, or you're working with pals, or, you know, you get there, but it's for you, where marriage is meant to be about two people. And for somebody to rock into your thing that you put all your work into and go, let's make this about us now, it's like, no, absolutely not. This is me. This is my day. Leave me be. Do it tomorrow. Jimmy, do it next week.
And on top of that as well, marriage, for me anyway, I don't know how you feel, but it doesn't come into a category of an achievement for me. Marriage is not like, I didn't, you know, work hard my whole life and then was rewarded with a marriage. Like, a marriage is something that happened because I happened to be in a relationship and we happened to want to make it legal and we happened to want to spend the rest of our lives together. But it's not, you know, and obviously, marriage is work, you know, you do have to put effort into your relationship, but I don't feel like it's some kind of award that I was given for enduring a relationship for a certain amount of time. Do you know what I mean? I don't see marriage in this, even in the same category as, you know, getting your degree or getting a new job or, you know, get whatever the achievement might be, big or small.
And I think that is a societal kind of impression that people have, because it's like an achievement. It is, it's kind of like, oh, like, tick that box, you know, that kind of way. Found somebody, tick a box, no longer single, you know, got engaged, tick a box, you know, got married. It's as if then kids becomes this achievement too, and it's not. You're right, it's not. It's completely different.
I wouldn't see having children as, I mean, don't get me wrong, for a lot of people having children is a lot of work, and it doesn't happen automatically for everyone. But I still don't think of it as, I just don't think of it in the same category as an achievement, like a professional achievement, or, you know, and I don't mean that one is more important or less important. It's not that, but I just think that, like, you know, when it comes to getting proposed to on a day that's already big for you, like, it just jars with me completely. And and there was another interesting tweet underneath that thread that said, but also the guy is just piggybacking on an event that he had no part of. And then it says, like, dude, pick a day, make some plans. Which is fair.
It is.
What they're doing there is they're going, ah, it'd be great if I proposed to her at the end of the marathon, because I won't have to do anything then. And it'll be, you know, there'll be a buzz and there'll be a this and that. And
everyone's already there. Everyone's it's ideal. There.
Yeah. Exactly. Which I think is nonsense. The same applies if you're at a wedding. The same applies if you're at some kind of birthday party. The same applies, you know, people are there. There's probably music playing. Like, you literally as a proposer, because it's obviously not all going to be men, but as the proposer, you don't have to do jack shit because it's already been done.
Literally just bend the knee and then you're golden in that situation.
What do you think about the notion that public proposals, regardless now of whether they are stemming from an achievement or, you know, whatever, do you think public proposals, like, and I mean very public, like on a stage or at a concert or like any of those really, really, really public ones, how do you feel about putting someone on the spot in those instances? Like, whoever is the proposee or proposer, how would you feel if you're put on the spot like that?
Absolutely, I'd die on the spot. I'd be dead. I'd be like it's such an important special moment in your relationship, and to share that with like people you don't know. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. if you're at a concert and it's like, I seen Harry Styles a concert proposal,
and look, like that might be someone's idea of a great time.
Yeah, for me,
no.
For me, absolutely not. No. Oh, I would die. I would melt into the ground. I'd try and I'd try and crowd surf either away or get lost in the crowd. You know, kind of maybe like no, and just
Andrea just a stage dive.
Honestly, and escape.
But apart from the fact that, like, you know, personal preference for you and I would dictate that neither of us want a particular public proposal. Now, when I say I want, I've already been proposed to, so cancel. That's fine.
But your current husband would not be impressed.
My current husband would be like, what are you talking about? But the other side of that coin is, mm-hmm. what if the person wanted to say no?
This is it. You're basically saying we're doing this now. Yeah, I think what would happen is actually, instead of if I was like a deer in headlights in that situation, and somebody mm-hmm. was like, will you marry me in front of the masses, and mm-hmm. you know, there was no escape route, so to speak, I'd probably say yeah, and then immediately when we were on our own, be like, absolutely not. Mm. This doesn't count. Not absolutely not. I'm never going to marry you because this has happened, but this is not the proposal.
Mm.
This is not the day.
Not what happens. This is not what I want. So, yeah.
How about you? What would you do?
If I was proposed to in public?
Yeah.
Jesus. Thankfully, I'm probably never going to have to
deal with that. Fair point.
But God I think if it was at a concert or something like that, Andrea, like I'd run away.
Yeah, you would. Yeah.
I just would run away.
Isn't that gas? Your instinct is just to like space. Fail.
Yeah, I'd make space. I'd just leg it, because you, or else I'd grab him by the hand and pull him away to somewhere private, because at least that way there's two of you in it. Because look, people are misguided sometimes. People do stupid things that in their head seems wonderful, and then in reality you look around yourself and there's people in Stetsons and you're at Garth Brooks and you've just been proposed to and you want to die.
Jesus Christ,
you know.
Oh my Lord.
But we move on to our listener query.
Let's do it,
because it's heavy, and I want to make sure that we get through it and we don't have loads of time left. So, okay, I'm going to read it. So it's from a woman. I'm not going to obviously give any identifying details, but here mm-hmm. it is. And just for listeners, Andrea hasn't heard this yet either. This is her first time.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Fresh.
Hi, I've been listening to your podcast for ages and decided to message. I'm engaged, getting married next year. We're really happy together, except in the bedroom. I seem to have a really low libido. It's always been like this. I have an underactive thyroid, but it's medicated. I get blood checks regularly, so it's in the normal range now. I presume she means her thyroid. Mm-hmm. I just feel like I never need sex. I never want it. I'm never horny. I will have sex and I climax every time, but I can just take or leave it. I'm very influenced by what has happened prior to it. I mean, if we argue, I instantly don't want sex. If I'm really tired, I don't want sex. And he knows when I don't want it because I clam up and can't bear being touched at all. It's always been an issue for us. We do it once, twice a week max, but he thinks it should be every other night. I'm not putting blame on, but we both work long days. He's not home till about 9. We have dinner and watch something on TV, and then he will say, "Are you going to shower?" And to him, this is code for, "Are you going to give me sex?" Sometimes I don't shower purposely, so he knows I don't want to have sex. He gets angry then, and we have the awkward conversation in bed. Do you not find me attractive? Are you seeing someone else? Etc. Obviously, I do find him attractive and I would never cheat, but I just don't really want sex. Obviously, he thinks there is something wrong with me. He made me pay to get my blood checks done, £100, to tell me my hormones were completely normal. He encouraged me to go to therapy, so I paid for sessions and I didn't really think it did much other than to tell me that I feel like I'm never good enough and that I'm an overachiever. Very good, but not relevant to my sex life. He encouraged me to get antidepressants, as sometimes I feel a bit down and anxious, so now I take some. Great improvement in my mood, but no change in my sex drive. I'm not a huggy person. I never have been. I don't crave physical touch or closeness. I love his company and we make a good team, but I just don't lust after him. I've never lusted over anyone, male, female, celebrity, nothing. I don't masturbate, like I don't ever have any desire. He said he can't live like this. It's been 10 days since we've had sex and it leads to massive arguments, which puts me off even more. He said now that he can't go on like this with a wife that won't have regular sex. Bear in mind, they're engaged. Mm-hmm. Sometimes earlier in the day, I find it easier, but I work 8 to 6 daily and his shifts are usually as far as 8 or 9 p.m. So that option is only there every few weeks. I know you will probably say you're normal, but that doesn't help me at all. Our marriage is on the line here.
Jesus Christ.
Mm. And that's what she finishes with. Our marriage is on the line here.
I mean, my first impression is, how is this new information?
Mm. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, how is this something that he didn't already know? And I'm not putting the weight of the responsibility on him here, but if they're engaged to mm-hmm. be married, if they're fiancés, surely they both understood each other's wants and needs. And when it comes to sex, it's obviously so important. And we actually just spoke about match in one of the last episodes we had.
Yeah, yeah.
We did. Yeah. We spoke about that. But yeah. Like, this is a complete, this sounds like a complete mismatch of wants and desires here. And I feel like it's gone very far.
I agree. Like, I'm wondering how they got to be engaged if because she said she's always like this isn't a change.
Maybe it might have been a case.
I'm just reading back over here. She said I seem to have really low libido, it's always been like this.
Yeah, so it just seems maybe they thought, and it could be both of them, maybe they both thought that, well, given the way she's just wrote that email, I don't think she was under any impression that things had changed for her, because it sounds like both a medical and like psychological, you know, connection that she has there, that it's just she's just not interested in sex. Whereas maybe he went into this, I'm not blaming, this isn't what this is, but I'm saying maybe he went into this thinking, if we were engaged, maybe things would be different. If we're married, maybe things would be different. But it feels like
that's an absolutely mental thing to think. Like, that's crazy to think that. Because engagement changes nothing. Marriage changes nothing. A relationship is the relationship it's going to be, whether you're engaged, married, or otherwise, I think.
Yeah. And the thing is, I know she said she's gone to therapy and found it useful for her life, but not necessarily, like, other aspects, but not necessarily this. But why didn't they both go to a sex therapist? Why didn't they both go to somebody that could help them understand each other's wants and needs?
Yeah.
And now, then go from there.
They might not. There are psychosexual therapists out there. They're not easy to find.
Yeah.
But if you are looking, if someone is listening, and indeed if this listener is listening to this episode and you recognize your message, there's a DCU center. I was speaking to Dr. Maria McAvoy in the last episode about vaginismus, and she was telling me that there's a health and wellness center in DCU that provides a specific psychosexual therapy for couples. So that might be something to look into, because going to a regular therapist isn't quite going to cut it when it comes to these issues. They kind of need to have that further level of expertise. That might be a place to start. And I agree with you, Andrea. I think going with your partner could be key to this. If this relationship is something that you value and something that you want to continue with, then that could be the answer here.
Yeah.
What I want to say though is, reading through this message, I didn't feel great about the influence that her partner has on her, in terms of, like, he made her go and get blood tests. Mm-hmm. He suggested going to therapy. He encouraged her to get antidepressants. Look, I don't know him and I don't know her, but it does sound like she says here, he made me pay to get my blood checks done. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no one in the world that could make me go and get a blood test apart from myself.
Yeah. And
likewise with antidepressants, and likewise with therapy. Now, granted, an encouraging partner might say, well, maybe, you know, maybe it might be a good idea for you to get your blood checked, or maybe it'd be a good idea if you go to therapy, but they would never make me.
No.
And I don't think that's a great sign.
No, that's very worrying. And it's very worrying that it's like somebody's broken that needs to be fixed here. It's kind of like, go get this done, go get that done, take this tablet, talk to this person. Yeah. This is how it's going to be better. Wherein nobody seems to be having a conversation about the two of them. It seems to be very, you've got a problem.
Mm-hmm.
You need to fix this for us.
And frankly, I don't think she has got a problem at all. And I know she said, don't tell me it's normal, but being completely honest, what you're going through, not normal. The relationship that you're in terms of your sex life, and the fact that, you know, he says, are you going to shower tonight? And you say, you know, the shower is the indicator of whether you will or you won't. Like, that's not normal. That is not.
The shower thing got caught up in the other details. You know what I mean? In the kind of the bigger picture, but the shower thing as well is like, is that because you want to, or is that because he makes you?
Yeah.
Because it sounds like that's a him preference, because when you don't, he kicks off. Hmm. Whereas that shouldn't be an indicator of whether or not you're willing to have sex.
And like, you know, so what I wanted to say there was, it's not like that kind of crack isn't normal to my mind anyway. Now, look, what's normal? Look, I'm always saying it. Normal is, how long is a piece of string? What's normal?
Mm-hmm.
But the not being horny, not ever getting turned on, not looking at someone and thinking that they're sexy, not ever feeling lust, that's actually, you're probably in the minority, but it's not abnormal. As in, there are plenty of people out there who consider themselves to be asexual. There are also people out there who consider themselves to just be very okay with only having sex maybe once every 6 months, and that's what they consider a healthy sex life for them. So I want you to know, listener, that it's not, you are not the problem here, and you are not something to be fixed, which is what kind of seems to be going on in the background.
That's it. That it's her not being the problem, I think, is something that she needs to take on board, because it sounds like, from reading that, or from you reading that to me, that she seems to be the problem person in the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And all of those things, the sharing, the blood tests, it's like a level of control that I'm not, that doesn't sit well with me. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? That's kind of like, you should be able to feel what you feel and act how you need to act and take the measures you need to take for you, for the greater good, being the relationship. But you know what I'm trying to say? It just seems very much like you're doing everything that he wants you to do.
Yeah, to try and fix yourself. But
yeah,
you are not something to be fixed. If that is what you are happy with, if a less active sex life is something that you're okay with, that should be fine. And realistically, your partner, granted, you're in a relationship, it's a two-way street, there has to be some level of compromise. But for someone who could probably have sex twice a year and be happy enough with it, going from that to twice a week, that's very much not a compromise. That's very much doing what he wants to do in this situation, I feel. I also think the, you know, getting angry when he doesn't, when he wants to have sex and you don't, him getting angry and then having the conversation about it, you know, do you not find me attractive? Are you seeing someone else? Like, look, put it this way. Any relationship I've ever been in, none of them have been perfect. But if ever there was an occasion where I didn't want to have sex, the first line of questioning wouldn't be, are you seeing someone else? The first line of questioning would be, well, actually, most times there probably wouldn't be questions. If there ever were questions, it would be, are you okay? How are you feeling? Do you feel, you know, are you in form? Are you feel like it would be concern rather than you're obviously sleeping with someone else. Like that question strikes me as a little defensive maybe, and a little bit, I don't know, a little bit presumptuous on the part of the partner. Like, the reason she doesn't want to have sex is because this is who she is as a person. And I'm wondering, do they have this conversation with each other? You know,
yeah,
has she said these things to him?
That's what I was wondering. That's why the kind of when we started and we were talking about how it's very far in with an engagement and a wedding to be having this realization, it feels like it should have been something that this should have been an issue earlier. And if it's an issue that happened earlier in the relationship and they haven't actually done anything about it until now, there's blame on both parts, or there's responsibility on both parts. Two people are responsible here. And not to be, to play devil's advocate, if the conversation hasn't been had and if the partner isn't very emotionally intelligent, without seeming like I'm throwing it, that's not an insult, but if they're not very emotionally intelligent and they're not very capable at communicating, it sounds like they're being defensive, probably because they feel completely out of control themselves. So the way that he's reacting could be a reaction to not having sex and not, you know, wanting to have sex. And he just hasn't got the capacity to stop for a second, potentially, and say, what's going on here for you? He's taken it as a slight on himself, because he hasn't got, maybe that channel hasn't been open yet for them to have the conversation. So
I think that kind of brings us to what our key pieces of advice would be. I think the first thing would be, if you guys haven't had these conversations with each other, like if you're listening, if you haven't sat down with your fiance and said, this is what my sex drive is, this is how it's always been, this is probably how it's always going to be, I'm healthy, I'm happy, that's just who I am. If you haven't articulated exactly that in those words, honestly, to your fiance, that is step one. Because you cannot possibly, I mean, you can, and plenty of people do, but I think if you want to have a very healthy marriage, and if you want to have a healthy ongoing relationship with this person, whether it's marriage or otherwise, that conversation is that needs to happen yesterday. Like, it needs to happen so soon, because they need to know as much as you need to know what you're getting into. Like, you are engaged to each other. There needs to be no questions left unasked and no conversations left unhad. You know, I remember just before I got engaged, I remember thinking, if I ever get engaged, I'm going to need to have, you know, the children conversation, and we're going to have the where do you want to live conversation, and you have to have the, you know, do you want your potential future children to have a religious background conversation, you know, those kind of really big life altering fundamental conversations. And being completely honest with you, sex life and preferences in that department are, you know, that is one of the questions. Like, it is. So those conversations need to be had. I think the second piece of advice is probably therapy.
Yeah. And I think that place that you mentioned in DCU is the way to go, because you're completely right. You can't rock up to a regular counselor or a regular therapist that hasn't got expertise in this field, because they won't be able to guide you as well. You could, but they won't be able to guide you as well as this centre. So I think that would be excellent. And potentially we could share some.
Yeah. Some details in the show notes.
There you go. Thank you.
We love the show notes.
We love the show notes. Catch us in the show notes. How about that?
Yeah. And no, but do, like, we definitely will put some psychosexual therapist contact details in the show notes, because there's no getting around this. This is not going to change.
Mm-mm.
Like, even if it changed temporarily until you got married or something, I mean, long term, that is fundamentally who you are as a person. Like, yeah. those sorts of things don't just all of a sudden fall away, in my experience.
No. And I think the change needs to be, you're like saying it's not going to change, and, you know, like trying to change it won't happen overnight, whatever. I don't think the change should be related to her.
Yes.
I think the change should be the approach they take and the way that they tackle this. I think that's where the change needs to happen, because the arguments can't continue, and it's not healthy for her to be blood tested up to the nines just because they think that's going to help, you know?
No. And I do think that those kind of, get blood tests, get antidepressants, try this, try that, that is very like, I'm going to fix you and I'm going to mold you into the woman that I would like to be married to. But that's actually, that's quite unhealthy. Like, you have to love the person for exactly who they are before you marry them, or else, I mean, you can't change a man no more than you can change a woman. So I just think that's something that, you know, will need to be discussed. Like Andrea said, we're going to put notes in the show notes. There you go. That's a good one, Ashton. Like, well done. You're a podcast presenter and you're saying shit like that. Why anyone listens, I don't know.
No.
Early. From Los Angeles and from County Cork, much less glamorous County Cork. Although County Cork, the real
thing. I'm telling you, where you are looks gorge.
It is, in fairness. It's beautiful. We're in Fota. So it's real hot. And I'm going to go and jump into the swimming pool now. So until next week, thank you so much for listening to this slightly shorter than normal episode. And until next week, stay safe.
Have fun.
Goodbye.
Bye, guys.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.